First, it's time for Food Friday. If you've enjoyed meals from Middle Eastern, Persian, Greek, Turkish, or North African cuisines, there's a good chance there was some tahini on the table somewhere. In fact, if you've eaten hummus, you've eaten tahini.
Tahini is a paste made from hulled sesame seeds that are toasted and ground up, and it's available in most grocery stores. But of course, if you're motivated to make it from scratch, that's also possible.
One of our in-house foodies here at WPR is music host Lori Skelton. She took tahini for a test drive this month. Lori, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Well, why did you tackle tahini?
I actually have been cooking with it all summer. Back in May, NPR did a feature with three different chefs. Come up with a dish that you can take to a potluck this summer when you don't know if you're going to have a shelf stable or, you know, something safe, something you can leave outside in the heat that's not going to spoil and that everybody's going to like. And one chef came up with a recipe where tahini was blended with garlic oil and miso and a few other things to make a thick paste that was drizzled over grilled cauliflower, served with jalapeno jam and garlic chips. I made it once thinking my boyfriend would try it to please me. We ended up eating it all summer. He now calls it his favorite vegetable. And from there on, somebody gave me salted tahini chocolate chip cookies, which I found utterly incredible. I ended up making a batch of those for the pledge drive this year, and two people told me it was the best chocolate chip cookie they'd ever eaten. So, as you say, I'm used to seeing tahini as a component of certain cuisines, but I've spent the last couple of months realizing that tahini is something that can be added for a really incredible depth of flavor in a lot of different ways.
Well, Lori, can you just, I guess, go a little bit deeper in there? What do you think tahini brings to a dish? You said it's a little bit, it gives a deeper flavor, but what else does it bring?
You're certainly going to have an unctuousness to it because of the oil content that's involved. When you're thinking about working with tahini, think about how you'd work with peanut butter. You've got that similar paste to it, although certain tahini can be thinner, and tahini can be thinned with water in a way that is still usable. You try thinning peanut butter and sometimes it just falls apart. And so rather than adding that strong sweetness and peanutty flavor that you'd get with peanut butter, what tahini adds is a depth to a lot of flavors. It for want of a better word, it grounds things. But then again, because it adds creaminess, you can get very, very creative with vegetables or other things added in, blended in, and come up with sauces or dips or things that don't rely on dairy for the warm, comforting, fatty feeling that end up being incredibly shelf-stable. I made up one tahini dip in August that I'm still picking at. It's perfectly fine.
Wow, okay. That's cruel.
No, it's lovely. It does tend to sit in the refrigerator for a lot longer than anything that's based on cream.
And speaking of sitting in the fridge for a long time, and when I've bought tahini in my life, it's been to make hummus, and I've made some pretty bad hummus over the years. I'm not good at making hummus, but then that's all I know to do with tahini, and that's what reading your preparation, trying the things you've made, it's really versatile.
Incredibly versatile. I was delighted to find out just how many vegetables it does play well with. Yes, we're used to the chickpeas, we're used to anything that's going to show up on a Middle Eastern meal. Falafel is the other one we all know, those the fried chickpeas that are dipped in hummus. One of the things that I discovered is that if you're still not on the Brussels sprout bandwagon, if you saute your Brussels sprouts and drizzle a little tahini over them, incredible flavor. And again, you don't need as much oil or butter on that. So once you've got your plate of sprouts, you can get very, very creative with what you drizzle on top. One thing that blew my mind is that it's a really great substitute for mayonnaise in a BLT. It really plays well with tomato and bacon.
Well, as someone who really, really does not like mayonnaise, that's good to hear, because sometimes you don't always want a dry sandwich, just the bread and meat, or maybe you have some water from lettuce. I don't know. But yeah, it's good to think of like a sauce that could also end up on a sandwich. Yeah.
And tahini is a natural pairing with lemon. So you can play around with acids, again, as you're thinking about dips or dressings, lemon juice, lime juice, get creative with your vinegars as well. That's another thing that will jazz up any sandwich.
So we're going to talk about a couple of recipes today, and you know, part of this conversation shows the versatility of tahini. You can use it in savory dishes and in sweet dishes. I guess we'll start with the savory. Can we talk about the savory recipe you brought today?
Well, the savory recipe is actually one you told
that
me
is
about.
True. I was going to let you have the spotlight here, Lori.
Well, the spotlight really goes to a chef named Yota Motolangi, who was born in Israel, was working with another chef from Palestine when he got to London, and has really become known for bringing the flavors of the Middle East to a lot of different cuisines. And one of the recipes we have on the website is his simple recipe for pui lentils, the French lentils that are a little firmer when they cook up. They don't get quite so mushy. And they're cooked with olive oil and butter and a little bit of cumin and a little bit more garlic and tomatoes, and it talks to itself for about 10 minutes. I ended up making this in our break room and drizzling on a little more olive oil and tahini and lovely slices of raw red onion that not everybody liked. And it's a very simple dish. If you've got the lentils already made ahead of time, it comes together literally in 10 minutes. And it has a rich, warming feel to it, but it's not heavy on your stomach. I can imagine eating this for the rest of the winter. So I'm so thrilled you told me about it.
Yeah, so I mean, this is one of my favorite recipes. And I was really glad that you and I had a chance to talk last week, because I didn't know that we were going to be talking about tahini, and that's when I brought up this recipe. And, you know, this is one of my go-to recipes all winter. I almost always have everything on hand, obviously the tahini, because it just lives in your fridge forever.
Yeah.
And so I can pretty much bust that out. I'm like, you know what? This is what I want. And, you know, I take a little bit of a different approach with it, where I caramelize onions and then add it to the dish if you don't want the, like, hard, red, raw onion taste. And, of course, serving it with hard-boiled eggs is just so, so good.
And now I should qualify this. Hard-boiled eggs, it's not a 10-minute egg that he serves them mm-hmm. with. It's more like what some people call a jammy egg. This is a 7-minute egg that even when you quarter it, it's not runny mm-hmm. like a soft-boiled egg, but the yolk isn't quite set. It's one of those things that is showing up more and more in grain bowls. Mm-hmm. And again, another thing to it's really good with tahini drizzled on top, or a dip with tahini drizzled on top. So yeah, go for the not so hard boiled egg. You're adding a little more protein to something that already has a fair amount of protein. I believe tahini has more protein per ounce than peanut butter does.
Talking to WPR's Lori Skelton about cooking with tahini. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your recipes, suggestions, and questions. Let's turn to some dessert right now. And in front of us, we have cups here with ice cream in them and just a little bit of tahini. You put it on top. I kind of stirred mine in it. I never, ever would have thought to do that. It's pretty good.
Apparently, it's standard fare in Israel. And yes, I'd never thought of it. I thought that tahini was just something that was added to savory dishes. I never thought of putting it in anything sweet until, as I say, somebody gave me a batch of salted tahini chocolate chip cookies in June, and they were stunning. I'm looking at other recipes. Again, Yota Motolangi will do a version of oatmeal cookies with tahini. He does a cake with dates and bananas and tahini. And we've got tahini cookies that are on, the recipe is on our website, that I have made regular and gluten-free. They were perfect mm-hmm. both times. I've added ginger and orange zest to the recipe. That also worked really, really well. Those tahini cookies we have on the website, I should warn you, I have a tendency to cut back on sugar in a lot of sweet recipes. I just don't like things as sweet as most people. This is one where the texture of the cookies is going to be so delicate, you probably don't want to cut back on the sugar too much. Some texture does require the proper ratio of fat to sugar in a cookie recipe. That said, if you don't mind waiting, I found out by accident that if you accidentally overbake them just a little and then put them in a container and wait to eat them the next day, they get soft on their own and they taste even nuttier and really, really good.
That sounds really, really great.
I do appreciate the fact I have friends who are willing to eat my mistakes and sometimes wait for my mistakes to get better.
So we are going to take Nick's call in Madison. Hi, Nick.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to say?
I like to use tahini when making tofu scrambles. It has a richness that is kind of like the yolk of the egg that tofu by itself misses.
That's brilliant. I hadn't even thought of trying it with tofu. How did you come across that? Did somebody suggest it, or just you just tried it? You're on your own.
Just experimenting, looking for a better dish.
Okay. And let me guess, you've probably got a lot of green onions in that scramble?
Sometimes. Okay. If it's in the fridge. Yep.
Yeah, one of the standard things to play with, if you like peanut butter noodles with soy and ginger and a lot of green onion, tahini, again, lovely, rich flavor, but not as heavy. And yeah, I'm finding tahini and green onions is a magical combination. Wow, thank you.
It's Food Friday, and we're talking to WPR in-house foodie Lori Skelton, and we are talking about cooking with tahini.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is tahini in your fridge? What do you cook with it? What are your favorite ways to use it? Are you thinking about a dish that might work with it? Do you have questions for Lori about what to do with tahini in your meals, your snacks, and your desserts? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post and find a link to a couple of recipes on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll pick up this conversation in just a bit right here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Right now, we're continuing our conversation, our Food Friday conversation with Lori Skelton. She experimented with tahini or sesame seed paste, and she's sharing what she's learned.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you use tahini in your cooking? How does it add to the dish you make with it, whether it's a sweet or savory dish? Or do you have questions for Lori about what to do with it, how best to use it? Call in now at 800-642-1234. I had a request to spell it, a great request, T-A-H-I-N-I, T-A-H-I-N-I. Not exactly like it sounds, actually. So
no,
it was a fine request from a listener. Thank you for that. Again, you can call in with your tahini ideas and questions at 800-642-1234 or post and find some recipes on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
So sticking or going back to sort of more savory uses for tahini, how does this work, you know, with meat?
With animal protein, my favorite thing to do is use it with chicken. There's a Persian chicken dish with sumac called, I think it's pronounced marmushka. And you serve that with flatbread, and I love tahini on that. You've got this lovely, rich chicken dish, and while the tahini is adding another level of flavor, it's not adding weight. So it still feels like you're eating something light. And something that I found on the allrecipes.com website is something they call the absolute ultimate marinade for chicken, pork, beef, lamb, even salmon, and it's sesame seeds, green onions, a lot of garlic, tahini soy sauce, some white sugar. I actually prefer to use honey when I'm putting this marinade together, some red wine vinegar, and lots of black pepper. You can marinate things for as little as an hour or two, again, with your salmon or your lighter meats. You want to go for overnight, you can have some really amazing flavors, and then from that, you just grill or broil your protein. It's an interesting thing to add to animal protein. Again, it's got a lot of protein in on itself, but it's one of those things when you want to up things just a little bit, but you don't want to go too crazy with extra prep in the kitchen. Just a little bit of tahini can really change the flavor.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Susan is with us in Madison. Susan, hi.
Hi. I like to take the standard peanut butter cookie recipe and use half tahini, half peanut peanut butter, and it gives it a smooth, interesting taste.
Interesting, Susan. Thanks a lot. So not entirely replacing the peanut butter there, Lori, in a peanut butter cookie, 50-50.
Susan, when you're making this, how does it change the consistency of your cookie dough? Do you have to make any other adjustments when you're doing that?
You might have to add a little extra flour to it.
Okay.
Or if you don't, it'll turn out just a little softer, smoother, moister.
And if that's the case, it's just a matter of you let the cookies cool for a little bit longer. You tell yourself 5 more minutes before I start eating them, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so you have to exercise a little bit of restraint, but it really does work well. But thank you for that. Great idea.
We also have Larry in Whitewater. Hi, Larry.
Good morning. Are you there?
Yes, good. We are. Good morning. When did you get up?
A question I had, I don't know. You've been talking a lot about tahini, and you must make your own like I do. I mean, you must put the sesame seeds in the coffee grinder and just grind them up, or even in the blender, and maybe put a little bit of olive oil, maybe toast them a little, if according to what you're doing with them. And it's always fresh, and it's always sharp.
Okay. Larry, I got to ask, is it really better when it's fresh?
I think it is, yes.
All right. Well, good for you. Making your own tahini, I probably wouldn't do that. Like, I don't make my own peanut butter either. And Larry, I don't think you had tried making your own either, but he makes it sound super easy.
It is easy to do. And if you happen to be in an area that doesn't have tahini always on the grocery shelf, it's showing up more and more and more. But just in case, if you can get a hold of some sesame seeds, yes, go ahead and toast them, and you'll have fresh tahini in a matter of seconds.
And now we are going to go to Nancy in Mazomani. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I use it in making hummus. I always have. And I know I've had some in the refrigerator for over a year, and I found that it has a bitter taste. Is there any way to get rid of that bitter taste?
Of course not, because what that is your oil has gone rancid. So, so there another reason, if you want to make your own, that you're not going to have that problem. I don't find that the tahini I keep in my refrigerator, that it tends to go bitter. So it may just have sat out just long enough or got too warm at one point that even putting it in the refrigerator, you were putting rancid oil back in. So no, once you've got bitter oil, toss it and start over. It's a pity, but once you learn how to use it, I don't think it's going to be sitting in your refrigerator too much longer. You're going to have a great turnover on this.
Thanks a lot for that call, Nancy. Nathan on Facebook writes, I live here in Eau Claire. One of the Euro shop's owners is Egyptian and serves chicken kebab with tahini. But personally, I absolutely love getting a Euro with tahini instead of the classic cucumber sauce. Interesting.
That would be.
I wouldn't think of that.
Lamb with the garlic. Oh, yeah. Mm. That would be lovely and unctuous. And sometimes you don't want the cream to cut through the way a tzatziki sauce would be with sour cream. If you don't want the sour, you wanted to go more of that warming feel. That would be great with tahini. Absolutely.
Sticking with our Facebook comments, Wendy writes, I love tahini with a little honey spread on toast with raw apples.
Oh, yes.
Which is one of the ways I really like to enjoy tahini. It's just kind of plain with honey.
Well, you blend tahini with honey and lighten it a little bit, and then you can fold that into whipped cream and use it to layer between like phyllo pastry that's been baked. Apples are great with that, pears, raspberries. I'm coming back to the sweet end of things. I didn't realize how wonderful tahini plays with chocolate. Have you ever made a molten cake with like a peanut butter center?
I have not.
Okay, molten chocolate cake, you bake it just enough so that the cake is soft, but the middle gets nice and just a little bit runny. Instead of using peanut butter, blend your tahini with mascarpone cream.
Whoa.
Or you can even blend the tahini with chocolate in certain iterations. There are a couple of bakeries out on the East Coast that will blend tahini in with their hot chocolate. You can blend it into brownie batter. You can blend it in, you know, swirl it in cheesecake. And so, yeah, the sweet end of tahini is something that is going to be a lot of fun to play with when you can have heavier desserts this winter. But yes, the honey and fruit, oh, please, yes.
Lori, you've done a lot with tahini over the last couple of few months. Is there something you haven't done yet that's kind of on your tahini agenda?
I'm still not convinced I've found the right pairing of fish with tahini. I mentioned that marinade that will work with salmon. I'm not entirely thrilled with it, so I want to play with that. I guess I'm just not used to marinating my fish. I do see a lot of suggestions for having that tahini blended into, say, your mashed potatoes. If you're making a fish fillet that's sitting on potatoes, adding just a little tahini will, again, add to the flavor but not add to the weight. So maybe that's the way to go. I don't think it's going to work with a fish fry, but I will find the right pairing one of these days.
I'm looking forward to the tahini old fashioned.
Oh, that's on the horizon. You know that's going to be the next thing we
go with my tahini fish fry. And JC, you're a big tahini fan.
I do love tahini. It is one of my favorite things. I mean, I used to be a vegan, so getting out of the sort of cream-based sauces, it was very easy to accomplish with tahini instead of veganaise or anything like that.
All right, we'll leave it there. Lori, thank you as always for joining us. I'm going to try something. I don't know what yet, but I'm going to try something. I mean, this ice cream with tahini was good. Not the best thing to eat if you have to talk on the radio, I realize, partway through.
But still, it's a great way to, again, jazz up a plain dish of ice cream without going the full sugar route. It's great.
That's Lori Skelton, WPR music host and in-house foodie here. You can find a couple tahini-themed recipes over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.